welcome back to La Onda Bajita's Radio del Barrio Aslan. And now we're getting ready for traditional healers from the four corners of the world with David Kukula. Welcome to tonight's show, David.
Thank you, Miguel. Diarva, this is David Kukula with traditional healers from the four corners of the world. Join me as we unite with healers, ancient medicines, rituals, and ceremonies so that we can preserve, protect, and further this healing wisdom. Let us remember the teachings handed down to us of how to live inside this sacred hoop of land, language, and culture. As always on all of our shows over the past 2 years, we always open with an opening prayer. So everyone take a deep breath, and then I'm going to lead us through an opening prayer. Ancient ones, ancestors, come join us. We're here, we're waiting. Come, wisdom teachers, healers, teachers, vision keepers, come be with us. Help us to open our hearts to each other. Help us to heal ourselves. Help us to heal our families and our communities. We want to say thank you for all the gifts that you've given us, all the plant medicines, all the plants and minerals and the air that we breathe, the water that we drink. We want to give you deep gratitude for all of life. Help us to walk on that high road. And with that, I want to say, may we all be together. May we all come together as one mind tonight. Thank you. So shall it be. So with that, opening prayer, this past year, we've been talking about traditional healing, given some definition of what does heal mean. And as we said, it means to become whole. And we've talked about the healing arts and the many different forms that it takes. And here on our program, we're bringing in different traditional healers. And last month, we had Sanatan Kaur, Sikh, chanter, Kundalini yoga teacher, sharing their beautiful tradition and how they use their traditional teachings in healing. And tonight we're going to move further in another direction. We're going to be talking about food as medicine, the food that we eat. And with us we have a special guest in the studio tonight, Lana Farson, licensed acupuncturist, herbalist, and a professor at the Acupuncture and Integrative Medicine College in Berkeley, California. She teaches classes and hands-on workshops using over 300 Asian and Western herbs as internal and external medicines for the balance and health of the body. Lana is co-director of the Well Balance Center, an integrative healing clinic in Lafayette, California, that unites Eastern and Western healthcare systems. Welcome, Lana.
Thank you, David. I'm really happy to be here.
And we have a real wonderful opportunity to talk to Lana tonight because she's very embedded in food as medicine, the food that we eat, and also the herbs. And she brought a wonderful collection of some herbs here on our studio table today. And she's been helping us see what they are and showing us how we can take better care of ourselves. And so as we move into this program, the first thing I want to touch with you, Lana, is the Western modern culture. They talk about food more from a nutritional viewpoint. They sort of dissect, isolate, and then they tell us how much protein, how much carbohydrate, how much fat's in a food, and they base health on those numbers. Whereas I know in your training and what you teach, you talk more about the energetics of the food, and you talk more about, instead of isolating, you talk about wholeness. So you want to expand on that a little bit? And
sure, thank you, yeah. I mean, the Western view is important too. I think that's an interesting view. But in our medicine, in Asian medicine, we think about the energetics of the food. So we think about the taste of the food and the temperature of the food and the channels or the meridians or the organs that that food enters and heals and works on. So the taste of the food has a huge effect on what that food is going to do medicinally. Mm-hmm. So here in the studio, I brought foods that are sour. I brought foods that are bitter, foods that are spicy, salty, all of those characteristics have meaning, and they have a certain type of healing that they do on the body. And we can talk more in detail about that.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I said that's important to note about food and herbs is the temperature. And when I say that word, it has a lot of different meanings, right? In Western thought, particularly in Western medicine, the idea of temperature is really talking about whether or not it's like the thermal temperature. You know, is it 100 degrees? Is it 30 degrees Fahrenheit? That is the idea of temperature. It's a thermal temperature, and that's important. So, for example, from this point of view of temperature, if we take a look at mint, which we have in the studio, mm-hmm. You know, if we were to make a tea, a hot tea, and it's 100 and let's say 10 degrees, that mint is going to be thermally warm. But if I gave you an ice cream, that mint is going to be thermally cooling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Western way of looking at that plant or food. Now, the Asian way is to look at temperature a little bit differently and talk about the energetic effect of that temperature.
Mm-hmm.
It's an energetic temperature. And so mint is cooling no matter if you use it as a hot tea or if you use it as a cold ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use mint as a hot tea, it's still going to be cooling on the body because that's its nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's its energetic temperature, is that it's cooling. Even if it's 110 degrees, it goes into your body warm, it goes mm-hmm. into the belly warm, mm-hmm. but the ultimate effect is that it's cooling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you take the mint as an ice cream, it's going to be both. It's going to be thermally cold,
mm-hmm.
20 degrees, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be energetically cooling and cold.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a double whammy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the same is true with ginger, right? So ginger, it's more of a fall, winter herb, and it's warming or even hot.
Mm-hmm.
And ginger is going to be energetically warming or hot, even if you take it as an ice cream. Even
mm-hmm.
if it's thermally cold, it's going to be have an energetic effect on the body where it's going to warm the body up.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a tea, of course, it's also going to be thermally warm and
right.
energetically warm. So that's the first piece of thinking about, you know, the Western view of looking at foods and herbs and whether or not they have protein or fat or carbohydrate or magnesium. It's very interesting, but it's not the whole picture.
Yeah, what I've seen, Lana, is that when people come to see me in my practice, you know, they'll have this knowledge of how many calories they should eat or they need more protein, but there's a whole missing understanding that what's even more critical, or as critical, I'm going to call it more personally, is the knowing the energetics of the kind of food they eat, because then we start talking seasonal, and this knowledge, is ancient knowledge, starts coming into play now, and so that when we start talking about food, we also have to understand that herbs are a food.
And herbs are a food. They are a food indeed.
Yeah, and that maybe what everyone needs to know is that if there is a difference, is that into what we call the herbal medicines or the herbal foods, there's a more concentrated energy versus, say, a piece of broccoli or a stalk of celery. There's a little bit more of a concentration of energy, so it can help move whatever the imbalance is. It can help correct an imbalance maybe more rapidly than a food can.
Nice, nice. I like that. And I like that you said the word seasons, mm-hmm. and I like that you were talking about seasonal foods. And I think eating with the seasons
mm-hmm.
and being aware of what's in season
mm-hmm.
is a guide to health. And when mm-hmm. we are aligned with nature
mm-hmm.
and the seasons and what's in season, it brings our body closer to health.
And how do you see modern agriculture then in regards to us to be able to eat seasonal? How does that fit the pattern?
Well, let's see. So, shopping at farmers markets,
there you go,
helps you,
mm-hmm.
ensures that you're going to be aware of what's in season. But it's true. You can buy a lot of stuff that's, you know, grown in a different season, or you can buy it frozen. You can buy, basically, you can get anything at any time. And it takes a smart consumer with knowledge to, you know, stay healthy and choose the foods that are in harmony. So right now we're in springtime, and the springtime energy is all about growth and aliveness, right? We're just coming out of winter. And so winter is a time where things contract a little bit and pull in. Also with our diets, we tend to eat a little heavier, gain a little bit of weight. And springtime is a beginning. It's a birth, and it's about growth and cleaning, right? It's a time to detoxify. So even in our culture, we have a term called spring cleaning. And we do it with our home, but we don't often think about it for our body. But our body also needs a sort of spring cleaning in the form of a detox. And a lot of the foods that are prominent in the springtime provide that, like sprouts, for example, and young shoots. And so we also have a variety of herbs here, chrysanthemum and mint. These are herbs that cool and clean the body, and that's part of the work during the springtime.
And so it's that spring cleaning, and again, the culture that we've been raised in the Western culture, that spring cleaning, we shake out the rugs and wash the futons, but where's that language of the internal house cleaning?
For the body.
Yeah, and so that's where I think traditional medicine has, you know, so much value, because in the traditional healing and in the way that we believe, in the way that we teach, we say that we can only give away that which we give ourselves. And so that in that internal house cleaning, when I start taking care of me, the insides of me, then I'm better able to take care of you and everybody else.
Nice, I like that.
And so when we go into that internal house cleaning, everybody get out your dust mops and your rags and your soap and water, because here we go. Lana's going to tell us a little bit about the spring that we're moving into. And I know in the Chinese model, they call springtime that time where you'll see all the new green leaf coming. That'd be the first thing you see. And so in the Chinese medicine, I believe, you know, they put the color green on spring. And so why don't you talk to us a little bit about some of the organ systems?
Sure.
And maybe which way can we go here with
that? Right. So in Asian medicine, basically we think about nature, and a lot of it is based on nature, and we think about healthy nature. And the more that our bodies are, the more that we're like nature and healthy nature, the healthier we will be. So nature guides our medicine, and each season has particular associations. So with the springtime, this time of around birth and growth and cleaning, it's related to two specific organs, the liver and the gallbladder. So it's a really good time to think about those organs and the immense role that they play. The liver is responsible for detoxifying the body, detoxifying the blood. And so it's kind of like the spring cleaner, right, of the body. Especially when we're coming out of that period of winter where we get, we have more meats in our diet and eggs and cream and heavier foods, gaining weight. The foods that are appropriate for springtime, it's very light foods, and also less food. You know, in a sense, we really don't always need as much food as we think we do. And it's kind of nice to fast a little bit, you know, or eat a little lighter during the springtime. But do you want to talk about some specific herbs, or
well,
how do you want
to do it? First thing I want to really bring forward is that when you talk about the liver and gallbladder from an Asian traditional medicine viewpoint, you're talking about a different organ, or a bigger organ, or it has different meanings than the Western.
Okay.
I mean, if someone comes and sees you and you tell them they have, for example, in the Chinese language, liver qi stagnation, you know, if they've never seen or if they don't know anything about the Asian medicine, they think they're going to need a liver transplant.
Right, right, right. So let me talk a little bit about that. I'm glad you brought that up. So liver energy in our medicine.
And that's traditional Chinese medicine.
Traditional Chinese medicine. Mm-hmm. It is about the cleaning, but you're right. It's focused on other systems. If we want to use some Western language, we could say that springtime and the liver energy in the body is similar to the emotional energy mm-hmm. and the nervous system. So when we're talking about healing the liver and working with springtime energy, we're also talking about cooling and calming the emotional system and the nervous system. So the herbs that we use during that time, basically they're often considered feel good herbs. Like this one we have in the studio, we have rose petals. Mm-hmm. And rose petals go to the liver and they help move a sluggish liver. They help mm-hmm. keep the liver energy flowing, which means it helps to keep the emotions flowing and mm-hmm. helps to keep us connected to our emotions and able to express them mm-hmm. with words or with our body, because mm-hmm. that's a form of health. If mm-hmm. our emotional system is healthy, mm-hmm. Our liver becomes healthy and our whole body becomes healthy and the people around us feel it, you know. Mm-hmm. So in a certain way, this word you mentioned, liver qi congestion, which mm-hmm. basically just means emotional energy congestion, like an emotional mm-hmm. congested feeling of...
Stuck.
Yeah, stuck. It's contagious, mm-hmm. you know. So if somebody's in a bad mood... being around them, it affects everybody. But if that person gets in a good mood, let's say they have their mint and do their springtime cleansing stuff like chrysanthemum and rose or burdock or eating lighter and exercising, it's helpful for the nervous system. It's helpful for the emotional system. And it helps the mood. And that's also contagious. A good mood is contagious as well.
That's right. So thank you, Lana. You're listening to Lana Farson, a licensed acupuncturist practicing in Lafayette, California. This is David Kukla with the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World. And we're talking tonight about food as medicine. We're talking about the springtime. And we're talking from an Asian perspective. What organs, internal organs, different than the Western model, what does springtime affect, not only physically, but also emotionally? And we'd like to go a little bit more into this issue of dietary practice, things that we can do to, you know, move that or make a healthy liver. And I know in my experience that a lot of people with liver issues have depression issues and maybe on the flip side of it, anger issues. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there's a big emotional component in the traditional Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm, that's right, yeah. And it's interesting. So you talk about anger issues as well. So often that's, if we're talking about anger in the springtime and related to the liver, it can often be a sign that the liver's overworked and the body's dealing with too many toxins, and that there's a buildup of even heat. Mm-hmm. So often with anger, we see heat signs. We see red eyes. We see the blood pressure rising, energy rising up, a red face.
Road rage.
Road rage, insomnia, heat signs. Mm-hmm. And so that's another reason why the springtime foods are helpful, because they're often cooling, like sprouts mm-hmm. and even, you know, mint tea is a very lovely, simple remedy. A lot of what I brought in the studio, mm-hmm. it's just very simple people's medicine. It's nothing too complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then what you're saying is what I'm hearing you say tonight is that as we're coming out of winter, out of those, you know, darker days where when we've been hibernating, we've been sitting around that fireplace and been maybe eating our soups and maybe our dried meats, our squashes. Now's the time to make that transition into some, if you go walk outside, you're going to see nature putting there in front of you some things that you can eat, I saw the other day down by my house there in Aptos some nettles growing in the yard. I saw some plantain. The dandelions are coming up.
Nice. I was going to bring those. I forgot.
Uh-huh. And so what about, so that flavor, the bitter flavor, the dandelion, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. So taste is definitely important. Mm-hmm. And springtime energy and liver and gallbladder energy, it's actually related to sour taste. So I brought some things in the studio like the umeboshi plums and the Buddha's hand. What else is sour? The lemon. So I brought some sour herbs. Also the Crataginus hawthornberry is sour. Mm-hmm. And so a little bit of sour helps the liver because the sourness gives it a little push and gets that liver qi moving and it helps the digestion. Sour promotes digestive enzymes such as lipase and amylase. And so it gets sluggishness in the belly going and gives the whole body a lift. But you mentioned another taste. You mentioned bitter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you were thinking of the dandelion greens and the plantain. Yeah. So bitter is another taste that can help the liver. Bitter clears heat. Bitter drains downward. Bitter is related to fire element. And all of these elements work in balance together. So it's totally appropriate to mix and match and use, you know, flavors from one season mixed with another season to help, you know, restrain and control and support various organs.
And so that sort of ties into maybe you really don't need to know if it's sour or bitter, whatever it is. Just take a walk down there in nature and go, and whatever's grown there, you know that it's good to eat. It's a good time of year to eat it. And if it ain't grown, then probably its time has passed.
Well, I think that's an interesting idea. I mean, if you're out and you recognize the plants that are growing, and you know that they're edible and they're not toxic, and you can see that that's their season because they're, you know, like the nettles, they proliferate at that time. It's nature's pretty right on, and nature can be trusted for these issues. So it's a pretty good bet that that's going to be an appropriate herb for that time.
And then if we moved into cleansing or a liver detox. I see a lot of people coming in. They want a detox.
I know. It's popular.
it's big. You should start selling t-shirts. I'm detox.
I know. It's like a buzzword, you know?
Right.
And it's just, I think, it means to people, I'm getting healthy because they think of the world as toxic, and there is toxicity in the world, but the world's not so toxic everywhere. And, you know, but there's this idea that that's what healing is to detox. So what were you going to say about that?
I was going to say that a lot of times I tell people, it's like whenever we want to accomplish something, we need something more. So in other words, what more do I need to do let's take detox? So they come to see me, and I usually tell them it's probably because the cup's too full. In other words, it's not so much what you need to add to your diet, but let's empty the half of the water out of that cup. In other words, so, you know, with the liver, if we're into springtime, if you want a detox, well, what if you just start with a few basic things? Let's say give up coffee for a week, go to a decaf, you might get some headaches. Why don't you maybe stop drinking for a week? Alcohol pretty hard on the liver.
Meats, perhaps.
Red meats.
Take a little break.
Take a little break from the red meats. Throw away the potato chips, the candy bars. In other words, all that processed food, all those things that you really don't, you know, I always say get out of the can and into the pan, you know. Start cooking your foods, start steaming some vegetables, and just cleaning your diet up a little bit is a detox. You don't have to get really exotic here.
Well, and I like that approach a lot. And then I think going from there, it's possible to add a couple of herbs mm-hmm. to help that, like burdock root, which okay. is right here mm-hmm. In the studio. And it's available at Berkeley Bowl, at Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. It's available at a lot of small Asian shops. It looks like a carrot sometimes. It looks like a brown carrot, and you peel it like a carrot, and you julienne it and cut it like a carrot.
And you cook it? How do you cook it?
You steam it mm-hmm. like a carrot, or you saute it just like a carrot. And burdock root heals the liver, and it goes to the liver channel and the liver organ and helps to clean and detoxify, and it tastes good. Or you could buy a burdock tea. That's another way.
Uh-huh. And then somebody wanted to go into like a mint. Would that be another?
That would be nice. That would be gentle,
simple food.
Simple, gentle, nice, perfect for the springtime, very cooling.
Okay, wonderful. So with that, we're going to be closing here. Lana, would you like to give a closing statement and some contact information? I'm sure people would love to come see you.
Well, let's see. I would love to talk more with you, David, about other seasons. So maybe we'll do this again.
Okay, and love to have you.
I teach in Berkeley. You can come check out my classes and workshops. My website is ingoodhealth.org. So it's all one word, ingoodhealth.org. You can check that out. Some of the stuff I do, I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you. And this is David Kukla with the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World. I want to thank you, Lana, for coming in and bringing this wonderful little tea and all these wonderful herbs we've been sipping on. I want to thank you, Miguel, our executive producer, Clay, video producer, and Chooch, our chief engineer. Who, Chooch? And so our next show will be Friday, May 24th from 8 to 10 p.m., mark your calendar. Our special guest will be Melodoma Somme, a traditional medicine man from the Dagra tribe in Burkina Faso, Africa. You can reach me at 415-317-7032 or email me at dksaami, D-K-S-A-A-M-I at mac.com. Check our YouTube videos from Clay at youtube.com/healersforum.com. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed evening. Say hello to your liver and goodbye to those toxins. Have a good one.
Thank you.